our series has been Unleashing God's Power for Me and for Our Church. You'll see today is part 3, Partaking of the Divine Nature. And next Sabbath is part 4, Give Him No Silence. And here's the 3 questions that we're going to answer this morning. Number 1, how do we get grace and peace multiplied to us? Number 2, how do we get divine power given to us? Number 3, how do we become partakers of the divine nature? Those are the 3 questions that will be answered today in the sermon. And I have a little bit of Greek for you today from the New Testament that you should enjoy, challenge your thinking, and also illuminate the beauty of these texts. And I'm serious, we do. And the children's question is, children, how can you be a partaker of the divine nature? And I thought, when I typed that, I thought the kids are going to go, divine nature? How can you be like Jesus, children? I'm going to answer that question. So you listen for the sermon, plus many of you will probably see your picture during the sermon today. So keep your eyes open, okay, children? Let's sing our song, I Welcome You to My Heart. This is our little theme song we're singing with this series of sermons. Sing with me if you would. I welcome you to my heart. I welcome you to my mind. I open the door up wide, O Lord. Please come and live inside. I want you to build a fire, to kindle a holy flame. I need you to fan the embers of love and warm my heart again. Come live in the tabernacle of my heart. Come live, be the keeper of my heart and mind. Come live, fill all the lonely aching parts. Welcome to my heart. I welcome you to my heart. I welcome you to my mind. I open the door up wide, O Lord. Please come and live inside. Will you bow your heads with me as we pray? Gracious Father, I want to make sure that this moment is yours and yours alone. That you would use me as a tool in your hand and speak through my mouth and my mind and my lips. That you would bring the bread of life to us. That you would open hearts and minds to listen and hear. And we've been studying together and have learned during prayer meeting especially that Satan makes special efforts to disturb and distract, even when fine points are being made during the sermon, so that people will miss the very thing they needed to hear. We defer to your authority. We tell you to kick Satan out of here, his evil angels. We want to be alone with you. And if there's anyone here, Lord, not cooperating, we pray that you would change their heart, that they would join with us in trying to reach you more fully, completely, and understandably. So use me now, Lord, to be a blessing for you, and we will give you the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Partaking of the divine nature. You all recognize this, don't you? It's kind of old now, but to me, in my mind, this iPod thing is almost like 9/11. No, I mean, by that I mean 9/11 totally changed our country, our thinking, the whole world. And there used to be those big DVD players and all this other stuff people would carry around. When the iPod came out, man, it proliferated. And it plugged our kids constantly into Satan's communication. They're plugged in everything. They walk around with them. They travel with them. They talk to each other with them. They're in the mall and they have one here and the other's hanging down and they're talking and listening. Total distraction. In fact, I just wanted to say what are you plugged into. This will determine whether or not you are a partaker of the divine nature. Now, just in case the young people felt isolated here in my opening illustration, I now have something for the adults. What are you plugged into? Is it the computer, TV, videos, movies, music, games, sports, news, books, addictions, gambling? Or is it the Holy Bible, God's Word? This will determine whether or not you will be a partaker of divine nature, for we are all plugged in to all kinds of worldly information and knowledge that is keeping us from coming closer to Jesus. I invite you, if you would, to take your Bibles with me and turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 4. And remember, we are looking at how to be a partaker of the divine nature. Now, we'll read these four verses, and then I'm going to take verse 2 to answer the first question, verse 3 to answer the second question, and verse 4 to answer the fourth question. 2 Peter 1, 1 through 4, I even would like the children to open their Bibles and follow along as I read out loud. I'm reading from the New American Standard. Mine says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them we might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in Las Vegas by lust. Now I want you to focus back at verse number 1, or verse number 2. He starts out to these converts he's writing to, and he says, grace and peace be multiplied in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now I want you to look at that word grace. It's charis, and it means graciousness, unearned or unmerited favor from God to man. But it also means in the definition this. Listen carefully, because I think you all know grace, right? You're saved by grace through faith. But it also means especially the divine influence on the heart and its reflection in the life. Did you get that? Okay, I'm going to read it again. It especially means the divine influence on the heart and its reflection in the life. In other words, in Peter Neary language, what it means, it isn't just a free gift, it's also power. And let me tell you where I arrived at that conclusion. Because I looked at this, he says grace and peace. To me, grace and peace, as far as we understand, are two of the same words. But I now know that grace means more than just peace. Peace is a feeling. Grace includes power. In fact, I want you to keep your finger in Peter just for a second and go to Hebrews, the fourth chapter. And I want to show you a beautiful verse in Hebrews that I think bears this out beautifully. Hebrews 4, the very last verse is verse 16. in light of all that Peter or that Paul had written prior to verse 16 of chapter 4, here's what he says. Let us therefore, do you have Hebrews 4:16? I want to give you a chance to get there. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. Same word, the throne of grace. Why? That you or we may receive what? Mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Now, wait a minute. If grace only means a gift, a special gift of forgiveness that you don't deserve, then how can it say, and find grace to help in the time of need? It means that grace also works on your heart so that it's expressed in your life, folks. So the first question we have is, how do we multiply grace and peace unto you? That's what Peter wrote. Go back to Peter and let me read it to you again and see if you can answer that question now. 2 Peter 1:2. Okay, let's try it. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. How do we get grace and peace multiplied to us? Very good. Through a knowledge, and I put knowing, of God and of Jesus our Lord. Do you know your God? Do you know Jesus personally? Do you spend time with Him every day? Do you remember when you courted your wife, gentlemen, or ladies, you courted your husband, or however you put that? And who did you want to spend time with? And who did you want to talk to? I remember how many hours we would spend on the phone, Jenny and I. We'd go out and do Bible studies together. I'd take her home. She has to teach the next day. I had ministry to do at the church, school in the church. And we'd get home, and guess what we'd do? We call each other and talk on the phone. And now my son does it, and guess what we do? What in the world are you staying up so late for? This is stupid. You should confine it to a certain amount of time. We're not saying don't call. We're just saying limit your call. You need your sleep. And then I get in my car and I go, man, Lord, I remember I called Jenny all the time. I'm not telling Roland. I don't want Roland to know that. You spend time with Him. In fact, look at this. The word knowledge in the Greek, in fact, I can't read it because it is in the Greek. Somehow I lost my Greek when I saved it on the computer. It's epignosis. Epignosis. And by the way, gnosis is knowledge. And epi, I'll show you what that word means. It means recognition, that is by implication, full discernment. I like that. Full discernment, not just, I know him. See? Oh, I heard about him. It comes from the Greek word epignosko, which is a verb, and it means to become fully acquainted with. Do you want grace and peace multiplied to you? Spend time every day getting to know Jesus and coming to church on Sabbath and coming to Sabbath school where we study our Bibles and coming to prayer meeting on Wednesday night where we are memorizing scriptures for those of you who have been coming. Why? Because in order to have grace and peace multiplied to you, in order to unleash God's power for the Paradise Church, we must know Jesus. And that means any time that we have something going on here, this is where we should be. We've got to break away from the computer, TV, videos, you name it, folks. I sat at my desk and I tried to think of every one of you as well as me. And I'm sure I missed for some of you. But I hope by my list that your mind would have been keyed by the Spirit. What is it that you're focused on? All right, let's look at the next question we have. Verse number 3 of 2 Peter. Let's read it together. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who has called us by His own glory and excellence. Now, I want you to notice two things that are very interesting here. The words used there, it says, His divine power. And that word for divine is theos. That word actually means godlike. See this here? Theos is the Greek word godlike, divinity. It's from theon. Actually, that's supposed to be theos, which means that's a word for what? God. Look what that text is saying, folks. That text is saying, seeing that His divine power has granted us. By the way, I'm going to tell you more about that word granted. That's a very interesting Greek word, but I'm going to tell it to you in verse 4. He has granted to us everything by His divine power that pertains to life and godliness. Dunamis, divine power. Theos, divine. Dunamis, power. Right here. In fact, do you recognize an English word in dunamis? Dunamis, dynamite. Dynamite. And look what the word means. Force, literal or figural, especially miraculous power. This is available to us. But before we see why, I want to share this last one. Eusebia. Eusebia means piety, godliness, holiness. So in other words, God, through His divine power, has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, which is holiness, which is piety. Being like God. Not being God, but being like God. And the question is, how do we get divine power given to us? I'll read the text again, you tell me. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. How do we get it? Answer, you weren't so sure on that, were you? Knowledge, knowing of Him who called us. Isn't that the same answer we got in verse 2? It was. In fact, there's that word knowledge again. It's the same Greek word. Epignosis, which comes from the Greek word epignosko, by implication means that we must become fully acquainted with Jesus. What is your focus? Now, folks, I need to take a time out. I have one more point, and then I'm going to close. You have to understand that I don't walk around on my knees and read my Bible only. You have to understand I do other things too. But we are by far doing more in everything else than we are in the spiritual side. We are. How can I stand before you and betray you when I know the struggles myself I'm going through? We have to make sacrifices to know God better. We make sacrifices. Let me give you, for example. Please, don't get mad, but we get up every morning during the week because our kids have to go to school. We wouldn't dare have them late for school, would we? There's penalties for being late for school. But when Sabbath morning comes and Sabbath school starts later than school does, guess what? Folks, we're late. Why? Because our focus is not in the right place. Our logic, in fact, let me put it this way. I believe it's because maybe the voices of Adventism past have been quieted enough that we have slipped. That like you're now strong enough in this day and age to deal with Satan without spiritual refreshment from the church and its organization and its various functions, like prayer meeting, like Sabbath school. And folks, that's a lie. We are weaker now than our pioneers were. And they never missed a meeting. And they didn't have cars and computers and cell phones. In fact, that's probably one of the reasons why they did come. They had nothing else to do. Satan knows what he's doing. And don't think I don't feel that pressure. We've got to unleash the power of God. The power of God is unleashed when the Bible is the focus. We are doing everything we can here at the Paradise Church to focus on Scripture and make it within a certain amount of time, especially if you have little children. But what good is it if you don't show up? Now, how many of you have to get your kids out by 8 o'clock in the morning or earlier for school, but you can't come at 9:30? And our children, folks, are being clobbered. We've got to protect them. And God has given us, above all else, the Bible for the true knowledge, and it's probably the one thing we're focusing the least on. So we now see very clearly from Peter that the way that we can multiply grace and peace is by knowing God better. Now we know from Peter how to get divine power given to us is by knowing God better. Now take a look at verse 4 as we entered into our last point. For by these, now let me give you a rendition here. By these my Bible says, and yours says it differently, but It implies that it's either God's own glory and excellence that it's referring to in verse number 3, or it could be referring to life and godliness, okay? It's referring to something in verse 3, and it's a plural, so it's either life and godliness, or it is by God's glory and excellence. It says, by these God has granted us His precious and magnificent promises in order that by them you become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in Las Vegas through lust. I want you to know that it says, my Bible says, it says, precious and magnificent promises. I think the King James is exceedingly great and precious promises, right? And I wanted to show you these Greek words for exceedingly great in the King James. I want you to see this. This word is, we're up here. Megistos. And it is a superlative of megon. Megon means big. Megiston means really big. Therefore, it's interpreted greatest or very great, exceedingly great. I mean, Paul got excited. I mean, Peter got excited. He said, he doesn't say these are pretty good. He says these are very great. These are exceedingly great. And not only that, they're precious. They're valuable. What was he talking about? What was he talking about? Exceedingly great and precious promises. Promises. Epangelma. From epangelo. Epangelo is a compound word. Epi means A prime preposition properly meaning superimposition in time, place, or order. In other words, when you take the word epi and put it in front of another word, you are emphasizing that this is it. Okay, you got that? And look at the other word is. Epi is the suffix. The word is, do you recognize it? Angelon? I mean angelos. What's angelos? It's an angel. So this is a very special messenger, angel, or a pastor. In other words, the promises of God are a very special message. For it is in them that we become partakers of the divine nature. Did you miss that? Are you with me? Or is all this Greek throwing you away? It's blowing me away because, believe it or not, I have all those first letters that are under words underlined actually come out in the Greek. And when I changed it to their computer, it put it all back in the English, and now I'm confused. Folks, I am showing you how these words in themselves are trying to grab us by the collar and shake us. That there is power available for us to overcome the world that has got us so hammered. Imagine being partakers of the divine nature, meaning we are like Jesus. And notice what that does. It means that we will escape the corruption that is in the world by lust. And that's what's happening to us all. How do we become partakers of the divine nature? How do we do it? Come on, read it. And how do we get the promises of the Bible? By knowing. You see? We want to unleash the power. I don't want to continue to limp around like I am. Half Christian, half world. I am letting the Lord down. And I am trying my hardest to present to you the toughest message so that I'm held accountable, because you'll be watching me twice as hard as you'll be watching yourself. Right? Yeah? Just don't talk to my wife. So folks, how do we become partakers of the divine nature? We read our Bibles. Children, how can you be like Jesus? I want to tell the children something. Children, look at me. Quit doing stuff, will ya? I want you to learn your memory verse all week long to tell your teacher at Sabbath school. Children, you wake your mommy and daddy up as if it was Christmas morning. You tell them, I need to be there by 9:30. This is a better school than the one you're sending me to. And I have to give them my memory verse because I've got it. In fact, if you parents want to know what to do with your children for morning and evening worship, and I wonder if that's a foreign thought to most of us here, just take their memory verse and have them recite it and say a word of prayer. Do it in the morning, do it before they leave, and do it in the evening before they go to bed. And you know what will happen to you? You'll begin to learn some scripture. And that's what we want to do. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. By the way, I want you to know, and I'm putting myself in the spot, I hope I don't blow it, but I feel like I'm going to. 2 weeks ago at prayer meeting, our scripture memorization was 2 Corinthians 10:4. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but divinely powerful for pulling down strongholds. And I did learn it that night, and I keep reciting it, but you guys got verse 5 this week, and I did not get verse 5. I'll try to catch up to that. All right, here we go. Both old and young neglect the Bible. They do not make it their study, the rule of their life. Especially are the young guilty of this neglect. Most of them find time to read other books, but the books that point out the way to eternal life is not daily studied. By the way, look at the picture very carefully. You do see what's going on there. What is it? It's a battle between Christ and Satan over the person seated there, and his head is bowed because he's struggling. Now, I have something to say to you folks. I'm going to finish this quote. It's from Counsels to Parent, Teachers, and Students. And I want you to know that imagine a society in which the worst evil was reading a book. Did they have the internet? Did they have TV? Did they have videos, DVDs, iPods? Did they have a proliferation of magazines? The battle back in her day was over novels. Can you imagine how Satan has multiplied the battle today for you and I? Did you get that? Imagine what she would write today. She goes on. Idle stories are attentively read while the Bible is neglected. This book is our guide to a higher, holier life. The youth would pronounce it the most interesting book, listen to this, they ever read had not their imaginations been perverted by the reading of fictitious stories. Now, folks, let's bring it into the context of you and I today. Listen, I got two teenage boys. They want to play Walkman. They want to play their Xboxes, their Sony PS whatever's. The boys especially. You know that more girls now go to college than boys? More go to graduate school than boys? Boys' minds especially are being eaten out by all this junk, computer games. Some of us adults are into that. Some of us adults are into computer pornography. Well, brothers and sisters, if fictitious stories took the imagination and perverted it for our children not to understand the Bible, what is happening today? And when we as adults participate in this by not struggling the battle with them, like keeping our children from Sabbath school, for example, not coming to prayer meeting, for example. Seriously, we are weakening our children as well as ourselves. I can't stand before you and not be honest. So, we have Sabbath school. Starts at 9:30. We have Sabbath church services starting at 11, and we have prayer meeting in this church on Wednesday nights, and it starts at 7 and it ends at 8. If you want to unleash the power that God has for us in this church, then I want you to prayerfully seek the Lord to give you the strength to attend, because the focus of all of these is the Word of God. I want you to see, oops, our kids. Look at that. This was the cradle roll this morning. Who wouldn't want their little children in there learning how to pray? Our teachers teach them to kneel, close their eyes. Of course, notice the teachers do good at it, the kids don't. That was supposed to be funny. They're learning, though. We need to have that room so full, we need to look for another room for them. That's our cradle roll. Here's our kindergarten. Look at that. Happy bunch of faces. We got to fix our camera, folks. I apologize, kids. Do you see your pictures? Oh, look at that group. There's a primary. They're a happy bunch. Hello. And then we have the junior class. They're a little shyer, but they did smile. And then we have our youth class. Oops, that's another shot of the youth class, only because one of them was hiding and we wanted to make sure you could see him. And then we have our youth class. See, aren't you glad for our youth and young adult class? David, we got to fill that room, man. They are getting so much information from the enemy. We got to get them here on Sabbath morning so they can be part of it. I don't know if you've ever noticed Psalms 119, 70, 97 to 99. This is a scary thing. Do you realize it says, I have more understanding than my teachers. I have more insight than my teachers. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. This is wrong. That top one is supposed to be enemies. I don't know how they got to be teachers. I have more understanding than my enemies. I have more understanding than my teachers. I understand more than the ancients. Because all three of those texts say, because the Bible is my focus. Do you want to be smarter than your enemy? Do you want to be smarter than your teacher? Do you want to be smarter than your ancients? Then the Bible must be your focus. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for the challenge of this hour. And pray that even as I pray now and we sing the closing hymn, that decisions will be made. And I'm so glad that you're a compassionate God that understands the struggle all of us are facing. But Father, don't let us fail or continue to fail. And help us to reach out to one another and to lift each other up. And help us, instead of being critical, to acknowledge to them that we know that it isn't easy. In fact, we may be able to come at 8 o'clock on Sabbath morning, but there might be some other church thing that also calls for our presence that we're not so good at either. So who are we to judge? But one thing we can do is encourage one another, pray for one another, because this is a real battle. So Father, unleash the power for the Paradise Church in each person here, and help us with our children, which is the greatest battle we face, to raise them to know you and to love you and to know their Bible, so that they are girded with protection when Satan takes after them when we're not around. So would you help decisions to be made, and let us be a vibrant church, Lord, that spends most of its time here in activities, bringing our friends and neighbors so they too can be released from bondage. So hear us, help us, and grant us this beautiful gift. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International Copyright 2010. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and contingent financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.